Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you to New Life Worship Center again this morning. This is a great day, Grandparents' Day. We want to honor all of our grandparents that are in service with us this morning, and then also those of you that may be viewing online today with us. And I want to speak to you, especially to our grandparents this morning, but to all of us really, about this thought: heavenly heritage. Heavenly heritage. Heritage is something that's actually handed down from one's ancestors. It could be a characteristic, it could be a culture, it could be a tradition, but they're passed down from one generation to another. The Daily Walk adds this: heritage, it's something that you will spend your life trying either to live up to or to live down, depending on that heritage. There are many areas of your life over which we have no control: our gender and height, the color of our eyes, the wealthiness of our parents. All of that is part of our heritage from birth. And in most cases, we could do very little to change any of that, obviously. That's what I would call our natural heritage, our earthly heritage, if you will. And so it's things that we can't change. But while we had no vote in the matter of our ancestors, we have a lot to say regarding the descendants, because you and I are descendants of our ancestors. So were you or I born into a godly family, or were we born maybe into a broken home or under regrettable circumstances maybe? Well, our heritage is neither an excuse to hide behind, nor is it a guarantee of future godliness. Just because we were raised in a godly home doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to be godly. It's a choice that we have to make at some point in our lives, and we have to do that as individuals. So good or bad, it can be a source of bringing great glory to God, this heritage, this natural earthly heritage that we have received. But Paul gives us something a little bit deeper to attain or try to strive for in our lives, and that is we need to go for a heavenly heritage. And Paul gives us a great example of a rich heavenly heritage or spiritual heritage in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I want us to go there, just a couple of verses there, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6 this morning. And Paul writes to this young man that he's mentored for a while, and he says this: "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." I love this portion of Scripture because it lets us know that Paul has not only got Timothy in his heart and on his mind, and Timothy not only has Paul in his life as a mentor, but Timothy, even long before he ever met Paul, he had a godly grandmother and he had a godly mom that taught him the Word of God. And so Paul says, "I know that your sincere faith really first started in your grandmother and your mom, but now I'm persuaded," Paul says, "that Timothy, it's living in you as well. I see the fruit of your life. I've invested my life into your life, Timothy, and so I want you to fan into flame this gift of God that you've been blessed with. And it came through the laying on of my hands upon you as I commissioned you into the ministry." And so he says, don't forget that, and use that gift for God's glory. I want us to go a little bit further into 2 Timothy to chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, and just a couple of verses there this morning as well as we continue. And it says this: Paul says to Timothy, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." He said, Timothy, don't forget this. He says, you learned this from your grandmother, you learned this from your mom. I've influenced your life as well, Paul tells him. And he says, and then in verse 15, "and also how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation." How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. You can't start early enough in regards to mentoring and blessing your kids with the Word of God. I know ladies have told me over the years that have been carrying a child, and even in the womb, they will speak to that child. They'll read scripture to that child. They'll pray over that child. They'll play Christian music for that baby to hear before it's ever born. So even beforehand, it's getting into the spirit of that child. And Paul says, from infancy, Timothy, you've known these scriptures. He says, and he says, they're able to make you wise for salvation. And it comes through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a rich spiritual heritage, a rich heavenly heritage that Paul is passing on to Timothy, and his grandmother and mother passed on to him as well. So important to have godly people in our lives. Not only family, but close friends, maybe a pastor, a mentor, somebody maybe that you've worked with, older than you maybe in the business, and they've mentored you business-wise. We need that in the spiritual realm and in the heavenly realm as well. I'm going to share something very personal this morning that I've shared with our congregation numerous times over the years, and especially on Grandparents' Day. And it's a letter that I asked my grandmother years ago to write for me. She was 85 at the time. I didn't know how much longer I would have her. And so I asked her to write me a letter about her life, about maybe some life lessons that she had learned and things that were important to her. And so she did that for me. She was kind enough to do it for me. I know that she was a great prayer warrior in my life, and over me and Kathy and our ministry over all the years. And so I wanted her to give us some input, because she had been in ministry as an evangelist, licensed with the Assemblies of God for over 50 years. And so here is a very personal letter that she wrote to me. And she began with this: in 1935, that's right, 1935, I began traveling with two ladies in evangelistic work, namely Gladys Chappelle and Violet Malcolm. We traveled through a lot of states. A few months later, Violet left us and went back home to Georgia. Gladys and I continued traveling, holding revivals. God blessed in such wonderful ways. In a revival in Paducah, Kentucky, I was fasting and praying. The lady of the house where we were staying called for us to come to lunch. I started to go, and a scripture came to me from John 4, 31 and 32, where Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. The disciples said to Jesus, "Come and eat." Jesus replied, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." So I turned and went back to my room and began to pray. The Lord spoke to me to begin a ministry on my own. Gladys, who was the evangelist, felt I had a calling on my heart, but I was reluctant to go out on my own. Gladys pushed me out of the nest and announced a revival for me in Georgetown, Alabama. She went her way for a revival, and there I was on my own. Brother and sister Sam Odom brought their family down to Georgetown from Citronelle, Alabama, every night. They were such a blessing to me, as I was a beginner and had never conducted a meeting. When it came time to preach, I preached 10 minutes. Sounds like Charlie when he had his first message with us here at New Life. She says she preached 10 minutes. She says they got a little longer as the nights went on. Brother Odom was so well read in the scriptures and was such a help to me. I will always cherish fond memories of the Odom family. They were an inspiration to me in my beginning. Just a side note here from the letter, the Odom family, actually they became, that Brother Odom she was talking about became my grandfather in the future. And so just a real neat part of that story as well, how our families came together through that early, early meeting in that revival. And those, she goes on, she says, in the Georgetown revival, one young teenage boy was saved, and he played the guitar for the singing, as we didn't have a piano. And then she goes on, shortly after the revival, however, he was killed. She said, I wish I could remember his name now, but I can't, but I hope to meet him in heaven, as he was my first convert. Also, an elderly man was saved. I just thought I would give you the beginning. After that revival, I traveled alone. In the 30s, there was a Great Depression. Money was scarce. I would preach a 2, sometimes 3-week revival, and the offerings would be $20 or $30 each week. But God supplied my needs. Sometimes I prayed for meals, but I never went hungry. He promised us that, and I have found it to be true. Let me just say, I found out years later it was much easier to trust my husband's wallet, but that was a letdown. We lose a lot when we fail to depend on God. That's a life lesson there. Then she goes on, this incident comes to my mind. In Mahaska, Kansas, near Wichita, we were snowed in for 3 months. The highways were not cleared of snow like today. One Sunday afternoon, I got alone away from everyone, for I had an urgent need for a pair of shoes. I mean dress shoes. The soles were worn out on the pair that I had, and there was a big hole in each shoe. I put cardboard in them, but it wouldn't last long. So alone, I began to pray. I said, Lord, you know I need a pair of shoes. I don't just want a pair of shoes, I need a pair of shoes. After praying, I felt relieved of the burden and went back to the house where I was staying. For I had gone to a trailer that was parked in the yard covered with snow. It had no heat, but I managed to get inside. That night, a Sunday night, a lady in Moss Point, Mississippi, was in church. At praying time, this lady said God showed her and let her know that I, in Kansas, needed a pair of shoes. Wednesday, after the Sunday that I prayed, the post office called and said I had a registered letter at the post office. The man and lady had a car equipped for ice and snow, and they said they would go to get the letter for me. In the letter, it said how God had dealt with her to send $10 to buy a pair of shoes and extra to buy a pair of stockings. Remember, we were in a deep depression then, and $10 was a pile of money. I bought a new pair of shoes, stockings, and had my old shoes half-soled and rubber taps put on the heels so they wouldn't wear out so quickly. That sounds like depression, people, doesn't it? A couple of days later, I received a letter from my dad, who initially had opposed my going into the ministry alone, but the letter contained $10, another $10. A few days later, I had another letter from my brother with $10 for whom I had been working. She'd been working for her brother before she went into ministry, and so he sent her $10. And she said, and for sure, he opposed my quitting the job and going into ministry. He even tried to the police to overtake our car when we started off. The police said, we can't do that because she's of age. And she says, I was 29. They thought I was old enough to know what I was doing. I just learned in my early years as a young Christian to pray and God would take care of every situation. There's another life lesson. Amen. As a girl in my late teens, so she's digressing here, as a girl in my late teens and early 20s, I dedicated my heart to God. Every day at noontime, I would go to a certain spot in the woods under a tree. Sometimes I would skip lunch and pray and just pour out my soul to God. This spot was my sanctuary in my mind, and I can see that place by my old home place that is now gone. But it was and is still a dear place for me. God so wondrously consecrated me for his service. And I so well remember on one occasion under that old tree, kneeling and praying so earnestly. I don't know how it happened, but it seemed like I was walking at the wide end or the large end of a tunnel. And as I walked, it became smaller and smaller, and at the end of this tunnel was a light. I realized I was at the end of the tunnel, and I came to myself, and I had walked at least 50 or more feet from where I was kneeling. I do not ever remember getting off my knees or even walking, but I felt like I had walked a distance with God. Now, I'm 85 years old, and I've never lost the vision of Jesus. He grows sweeter as the years go by. His word grows sweeter each day as I read it. I have read the Bible through each year, and I learn something new every day that I read it. Here are some verses that I will write that I memorized years ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And it says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So we have mighty weapons to fight the enemy. So let's watch that we don't imagine things until they become reality. We talked about imaginations late last year and again this year. And for sure, to keep our thought life under control, the devil sure can make us imagine things that are not true and think things that are not becoming to Christians. God bless you as you read this, and make it a blessing to you as it has blessed me. Love, Grandma. That's something I'll always cherish. We had her for a number of years beyond that. She was 85 when she wrote that letter, and she didn't pass away till she was 93. And we were actually there when she passed. And so those are fond memories, and what a rich heavenly heritage from my grandmother. And then I love this in Psalm chapter 61. David, part of a prayer in this chapter. And let's begin with Psalm 61, verse 1. David says this, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." I love that verse there. "You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name." All of those that have gone before us, that are older than us in the Lord, those saints, those family members that were saved and knew God, they're all a cloud of witnesses, the word says in Hebrews, that are cheering us on as we live this life on earth. And he says, "You've given me that heritage of those who fear your name and have gone on before us." Psalm 119, verse 111 says this, "Your statutes are my heritage forever." In other words, the Word of God, this book that we have today, he says, "Those statutes, your Word, that's my heritage forever. And it's the joy of my heart." It's the joy of my heart. And then in Isaiah, I love this verse, Isaiah 54, 17. What a great, great verse. And it says this, "No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord." I want to read that one again. It's so good. "No weapon forged against you is going to prevail or prosper. And every tongue that arises in judgment against you," he says, "I'm going to refute it. Every accusing tongue is going to be refuted. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord." Praise God that we have that also as part of our heavenly heritage today. Henry Blackaby adds this. He writes, "As Christians, we ought never to overlook our heritage. And awareness of our Christian heritage helps us to understand our identity, and it gives us a sense of where God is leading us. The Israelites had a rich heritage, he writes. Their nation began as a result of Abraham and Sarah's faithfulness. The generations that followed them included people like Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph as faithful leaders. And God richly blessed his people, the nation of Israel, and made them prosper greatly. He sent mighty prophets like Elijah, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. But unfortunately, in Isaiah's day, God's people had reached a point where they had forgotten their heritage. Sounds so similar to our nation today that I think so many times, for the most part, people in America have forgotten the heavenly heritage that this nation was founded on. God, help us to get that back. He says the people of Isaiah's day had forgotten theirs. They lived as spiritual paupers rather than as heirs to a rich heritage and members of a royal priesthood. Your spiritual heritage, my spiritual heritage, is even richer than that of Isaiah's generation. Why? Because our spiritual ancestors include people like Mary, the mother of Jesus, John the Baptist, the 12 disciples, the Apostle Paul, and a host of other saints down through all the years of Christianity. Those folks have contributed to our heavenly heritage. But even more important, we today look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. So our eyes are upon Jesus. What a rich heavenly heritage that we've inherited from him. The example that Jesus set, even in Gethsemane when he prayed, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." There's a life lesson to find out what is God's will for my life. What's God's will for your life? That's the goal of each one of our lives. It's, Lord, not just what I want, but Lord, what do you want? What do you want to do with my life? Because you bought and paid for me with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 tells us this. He writes, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Praise God. "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." I love this. I love it. He called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light and into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus. 1 John 3:1 says this, "How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. What great love, the love of the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that life and that love of Jesus has been lavished on us. Praise God. And we are, through Christ, called now the children of God, and that is actually what we are. And then finally in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 15, we find this. And Paul writes here, he says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." And then in verse 16, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Another confirmation to those of us that know Christ as Savior, that we are children of God, sons and daughters of God through Christ. And then finally, verse 17, "Now if we are children," and we are, "then we are heirs," praise God, "heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." Now that, folks, is a heavenly heritage that cannot be refuted. We are heirs of God, but we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Father himself loves you, the Word says, and he desires to give you the kingdom. Whatever you need this morning, do you need salvation? It's there, and it's a free gift. Do you need healing in your body this morning? By Jesus' stripes, you are healed, and the work is done, and the need is met. Whatever we need today, he said, cast all of your care upon him, because he cares for you. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Lord, I ask you to move in every heart and every life today. Those in the room here with me this morning and those watching on YouTube today as well. Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit would just touch each heart and begin to minister to each person at their point of need. Whatever that need is, Father, it doesn't matter how big it is, how small it is, doesn't matter what it is. Lord, you're more than enough. And so this morning, Father, hear every prayer. Lord, hear and also answer. Lord, come to our defense. Come to our aid. Lord, be that refuge for us. Be that fortress for us. Oh, be that shelter in the storms of life. Lord, bring us forth victorious, because greater is he that's in us than he that's out in the world. Lord Jesus, minister to your people today. Lord, touch the hearts. Only you can touch hearts. Only you can heal and mend and restore a broken heart. And Lord, on this Grandparents' Day, I pray especially for every grandparent that's watching this morning. God, move in a powerful way in their lives. Lord, may they pass on a heavenly spiritual heritage to their kids and to their grandkids. Lord, move in their lives and bless them, Father. Take them deeper in you as well. Because, Lord, no matter what age we are, you're not finished with us. Lord, you're not finished with us until the day that we pass. There's still something that you have for us to do. Lord, my grandmother at 85 wrote that letter to me. It's been a blessing all these years. And so, Father, there are grandparents here today that maybe you'll lay something like that upon their heart to do for their kids, to do for their grandchildren. Lord, that would pass on their heavenly heritage, their spiritual heritage to their family members as well. Lord, bless every grandparent today. Lord, watch over them. Keep them safe. Lord, strengthen them spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, relationally, Lord, in every area of their lives. Watch over them by day, by night. May the angels of the Lord encamp around about them and deliver them from harm or danger. God, move in a powerful way. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. And in the midst of this pandemic, Lord, especially keep all of us safe in the shelter of your arms, Father. Minister to people. Encourage people. Be the encourager of our hearts. Be the lifter of our heads. And be the health and the joy of each of our countenances. And Father, for all this, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for watching this morning. I pray it's been a blessing to you. And we'll see you next week. Take care.